This is Fresh Air. Our rock critic Ken Tucker says there's good news and bad news about the Beatles. Which do you want to hear first? Let's hear the Beatles.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. Cause I'm the tax man.
Two decades on, the Beatles continue to obsess us. Ringo Starr is doing television commercials for a wine cooler company, and it's infuriating. What business does Ringo have, even after appearing in all those lousy movies, to act like a cheap shill for a carbonated wine product? It's a small sin, to be sure, but it's a measure of how much the Beatles have meant to us. Nobody's upset, for example, that Bruce Willis does wine cooler commercials. Does he have any cultural integrity? Ringo Starr certainly used to. It's also infuriating that a Beatles song, Revolution, is being used to sell sneakers on another TV spot. Last weekend, I was playing with my kids in a park, and two teenagers over by the swings had a radio blasting. Their rock station of choice was in the middle of an oldies set, and Revolution came on. One of the teenagers laughed knowingly and said, "Hey, it's a Nike commercial." Folks, I tell you, if I was a graffiti artist, I'd find a blank wall and write, "John Lennon died for your feet." But not all Beatle news these days is bad. Some of it is just overrated. Five of the Beatles' albums have been released as compact discs. Here's one of the most exhilarating songs from the 1966 album Revolver, freshly refurbished for CD. The song is "And Your Bird Can Sing." That was the Beatles' "And Your Bird Can Sing" from Revolver. Did you hear the crystalline clarity of that recording? If you didn't, join the club. Crystalline clarity is the kind of guff you hear all the time from compact disc proponents, and the release of Beatle albums on CD is bringing out the crystalline clarity bunch in force. In fact, nothing typifies how far we've come from music appreciation to technology worship better than the Beatles CD situation. The music on a compact disc is supposed to be crisper, more sharply defined than it is on vinyl. But in this case, all you end up doing is noticing when Ringo muffed a drum beat or Paul dropped his tambourine. I have a CD player, but I don't use it because I want perfect sound quality. I use it because the tone arm on every turntable I've ever owned, from a denim-covered Sears Roebuck deal to a mortgage-busting Bang & Olufsen job, has always ended up refusing to move, or else it scrapes across the surface of the record with a mind of its own, turning Van Morrison into a rap record or vice versa. I like CDs because you don't have to blow dust off that little needle anymore. So it's fine that we can now replenish our Beatle collections, replace the records that have coffee stains and cat fur balls in the grooves. But let's not forget, in the midst of technology and TV commercials, that the reason the Beatles' music was valuable was because its catchy melodies and clever wordplay yielded rough edges, rough music, rough emotions, rough ideas. At the risk of sounding flip, CDs may be the wine coolers of the music industry. At the risk of sounding solemn, Beatles songs shouldn't become advertisements for our sins.
Our rock critic Ken Tucker writes about popular culture for the Philadelphia Inquirer.